This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this edition of the FitCast, episode number 58. My name is Kevin Larrabee and I'm joined by two of my most favorite guests. That's first off, Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com. How's it going, Jimmy?
I'm good, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. A little sick, but battling through
it.
Yeah.
You're a troop. Showing love.
Yeah, I had some ice before the show to make sure I get all my branched amino acids in today and some creatine, but we'll see what happens. And also, we have everyone's favorite, Jen Heath. What's up, Jen?
Not much. I'm everyone's favorite. That is so nice of you. How you doing today?
I'm fantastic. And again, Jen's website is jenheath.com.
If you didn't Jen's not my favorite. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, well, sorry. The thing is, we're down two men this week. We're down Tony Gentilcore and we're down Keith Scott. But we're going to battle through it, and we're going to still have a great show lined up for you this week. As always, we're going to start off with the FitCast topics, then we're going to talk about our articles that are going to be coming up next week and possibly about some of our articles that came out this past week. For the listener mail, we're going to be talking about how often you should test your one repetition max in your squat, deadlift, and bench. And also for our roundtable discussions, we're going to talk about a great article that Jimmy Smith got for us about a fantastic new carb study. Also, we're going to talk about the new Nintendo Wii Fit game, which not many people have probably heard about, but I do check this kind of stuff out. So we'll talk about that and what it will mean to the fitness world. And also, last but not least, we're going to talk about some of the dumb things that people do in the gym to more or less minimize the results for no reason. So I guess we should just jump into it right away. First off, for FitCast topics, for articles this week, do you guys want to talk about any articles that you have coming up? Or maybe even, Jimmy, if you want to start off by talking about part two of your article that came out this week.
There's really not a lot to say about that. Obviously, it's really well talked about online, so I'll let all those experts talk about it. But it just basically went into more about how I look at fruit, and I'm not the fruit antichrist. I don't hate fruit, but at the same time, I think people miss the entire point of the article, Kevin. The whole point is that you have to look at every factor when you're working with somebody. You can't just blatantly give diet recommendations. Fruit's a great, you know, great food, a ton of antioxidant benefits is really good for you, but at the same time, you cannot accept anything blindly when you're working with the human body. I've worked with people who, are quote unquote every average everyday Joes, and they didn't do well with fruit in their diet. I had to take that out. There's things you always have to look at. You have to address every factor with people, so you get these people on the message boards that really don't work with people for a living, and they say, "How can you do that? Fruit's great." Yeah, fruit's great, but at the same time, when you're working with someone, you have to take every factor into account. And I just went into the main one, that fructose doesn't raise your insulin, so that's why it's a problem at times. Again, it's not to say throw all the fruit out. I'm not on the anti-fruit bandwagon, but we just have to look at all the factors. And I hope that point was taken by a couple people. I know a lot of people missed it, but
well, I think one point that a lot of people didn't get that you're mentioning, that you know what, they might not have tried this method before in the past. Again, a lot of them out there don't have clients, or even on themselves, if they haven't tried it. And I know for me personally, I don't tolerate fruit very well, so I don't have fruit in my diet. I've noticed that if I don't have fruit, I usually stay about 3 or 4 pounds leaner. It's just easy as that for me. Maybe it's because I'm one of those people that used to be 30 or 40 pounds overweight. Maybe that has something to do with it, definitely. But again, is it really going to hurt to try? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and people, you know, a lot of people jumped at me and said, well, if you're not having fruit, you know, where does the liver, what's the liver going to store it? People just don't understand nutritional biochem if they say that. I just talked about before we went on how I'm on the beach reading about it. And there's people who've never taken nutritional biochem class, who've never read a book, and want to come and jump down my throat on it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like you said, people miss the point. You have to look at every factor with the body. Some people don't respond that well to fruit. Others can get extremely lean on it. I mean, so there's never anything absolutes in this industry.
Yeah, I'm still alive, and I don't eat fruit. I might have it once a week or twice a week. If I see some strawberries in the refrigerator, I might throw some in after my workout, but that's about it. Jen, do you have anything you want to add onto this topic at all? I know you train a lot of clients, and a lot of them are going for fat loss, so.
You know what, on fruit, you know, a lot of people, it's just our preference. If they really, really want it, I just tell them when they can have it, which is when you wake up or after your training. And they'll really know at their time unless you need to plan it in. I mean, then you got to compensate for it. I mean, you can't be perfect. You can't go to a family barbecue, you know, one big one once a month and not have watermelon. You know what I'm saying? But fruit in excess, I kind of agree with Kevin. Fruit in excess all the time typically and most often will tend to keep someone slightly heavier or less lean than they could be if they would just watch it and time it. There are just times when the body is ready to absorb those kind of nutrients and times when it's not. Just as well as all other carbs, but fruits tend to be a sticky one. So, yeah, just be smart about it.
Absolutely. Well, for my article last week, it actually got a lot of attention. I started writing about fitness and video games and how they're kind of starting to come together. And, again, that has partly to do with one of our roundtables this week, but I got a lot of responses back from that article because it seems like we do have a couple gamers out there in the FitCast audience, and I think it's great to start going against the whole myth that if you play video games, then you're bound to be overweight and out of shape, and you're bound to have type 2 diabetes or something. But I think a lot of people out there are starting to disprove this myth. I'm glad that we have some FitCast listeners that are playing some video games, getting their Madden on. I know, Jimmy, you probably you played some Madden, right, in college?
Yeah,
and
I'm a Madden fan. I haven't really played video games a lot lately, simply because I'm always doing work, like, on the computer. And video games used to be very relaxing for me, and I can see how people can say, you know, video gamers are whatever. But to me, I used to do it relaxing. You know, an hour a day, I'd play Madden or something. And looking at the new Madden and the new Grand Theft Auto makes me want to buy a PS3. I haven't bought one yet.
Why don't you just get a 360? It's so much cheaper.
No, I'm going to be I'm a PlayStation man. I'm such a true, loyal person. I had a PS1 and a PS2. I agree with what people initially say about video gamers, because some people, that's all they do. But at the same time, like, you just can't stereotype everybody. There are people who do it as a relaxing. Like, after a long day of work or a long day of class, whatever, if you want to come home and play Madden for an hour, you know, go ahead. Or on Sunday before, you know, NFL football comes on, like, go ahead. That doesn't make you, you know, anything less. So that's just my
take. You're not a bad person because of it.
Not at all.
Well, for anyone out there, I know I got a couple emails from people who said they had Xbox 360s, as I do. So if you do have an Xbox 360 and you're online, I'd love to probably get a game of Madden on with you. So if you want to check me out, my gamer tag is Larrabee, Larrabee, 123. So if you just punch that in, send me a friend's request, and hopefully we can see each other online and possibly kill each other, or I'll just throw some touchdowns.
You told me your Xbox 360 tag was Kevin the Hunk 32. I don't know what you're talking about.
Crickets, folks. Crickets.
Keith is here. He would have laughed. That's all I got to say. Keith would have been eyeing me saying, I love your comments.
All right, well, anyways, I'm going to be coming up with part two of that article this week, where I'm going to be talking a lot about the whole Dance Dance Revolution fad that people have, also the Wii Sports that just came out, where there's websites popping up all over the place, and you know what, believe it or not, there's actually trainers in the UK that train people with a Wii to play Nintendo Sports. That's they're a trainer in Nintendo Sports, so that's something that is kind of scary, but it's also interesting. So make sure to check it out in my article next week. And
that won't bring the industry down another 10 years.
Oh, we're doing all right. And Jen, you're going to be writing about creatine. Your article will be coming out on Monday. So do you want to tell the audience a little bit about that?
You know what? I just kept it really basic because first of all, a little preview. There's probably, I'm not going to say for sure, going to be an extremely scientific article on creatine coming out at T Nation that Cassandra and I wrote together. So if you want the down and dirty, nitty-gritty scientific studies and numbers and all the proof and the pudding and all that kind of stuff, then you can check that out when it comes out. But I just kept mine really basic. I put a couple of feelers out there for my clients who are most all of them, at least well over half of them, taking creatine, and I got some awesome testimonials back. I had no idea that I was creating, like, this loving relationship with creatine and all my girls. So I got their testimonials, and so you can read about what creatine is doing for the body composition on some of my clients and for their, really, their mental state of mind, because it really adds something awesome to a training program, apparently. I could have told you that, but it's nice to hear it from some other girls. And it's just the basics of what it can do, why it's not just a boy supplement. Or that.
Jimmy, I just want to ask you, this is on topic, but in regards to, I got a lot of flack from an article that I wrote a little while back about having people actually go as far to have 10, 15, or even 20 grams of creatine a day, opposed to the 5 grams, where in a sense where I started using between 15 and 20 spread out through the day, I started seeing better results in the gym. I didn't feel as fatigued, and actually saw some strength results. And the only thing that I changed was increasing the amount of creatine. I don't know if you've ever tried anything like that, or what your view is on that.
Oh, I take at least 12 to 15 grams of creatine a day. I mean, people that knock it, generally you'll find people that haven't tried it and are only going with the whole thing when creatine first came out that you have to load. So when creatine first came out, they said, you know, you have to load creatine 20 grams a day, and people argued that it was no difference, and I think there was a research study that proved there was no difference. But the fact is, it's all about cellular hydration, and people have to realize that. To create an anabolic environment in your body, so one that builds muscle, you need to have cellular hydration. Now, there's other nutrients that I use to create that along with creatine, but you have to have it throughout the day. You can't just go and say, I'm going to take 5 grams after your workout. Like, I've tried it. I've recommended to clients to try it. My clients have at least 10 grams a day. Most of them have 12 to 15 like I do. And you're just going to see you stay fuller. You don't look as bloated because, again, being bloated is a factor not only to creatine. I mean, it can be related to your weight training, and it's also related to your carbohydrate intake, your sodium and potassium levels. The thing that people don't realize is a lot more than just creatine will bloat you. That's not necessarily true. I take it. I take that much. I love it. I'm sure there's a research nerd that can tell me why I shouldn't do it, but in the real world, it works, and it works well. What do you think?
Okay, I have something to add to this for sure. Can I?
Yeah. The floor's yours.
Okay, so when I first started getting ready for my bodybuilding competition, my very first show, I was not taking any supplements except for multivitamin and fish oil. But that was the only two things that were constant in my diet. Then I started taking creatine 3 months before my show. And here's a little preview on my thing that's going to come out on Monday. So I was doing, I was benching like 90, and I was repping squats at 135, and I was bent over rowing at 60, and I was curling 15 pounds. And when I started, I had the frame to be a bodybuilder, but I was not lean. I did not look muscular and athletic like I do now, or like I did when I was ready to step on stage 3 months later. But all I did was add creatine. That was the only supplement I changed, and I did not change my diet very much either. And I increased my bench from 90 to 135, my squat to 165 from 135, and my bent row from 60 to 90, and my curl went up to 25 from 15. And this was all in under 3 months, and I was pretty much at a standstill. So I have nothing else to credit it to except smart training and the creatine supplementation. I take a whole bunch of other stuff now, too, but and you know, I keep improving my physique. That's always the goal, right? But the bottom line is if you take it from just a perspective that people are, I don't know, I looked okay. I did definitely not have a physique competition body at all. And 3 months later, after I started taking creatine and training really hard, there I was stepping on stage for a bodybuilding show, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you have four kids, how'd you do that, da 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 da. And, like, literally, it really didn't have a lot to do with creatine supplementation. So I kind of use that as an example to my clients. I say, look at this before picture and look at this after picture. The only thing I changed was creatine, and I lifted Smart. And then they're like, oh, okay. So it's not going to make you look like a man. It's just going to make you look like a really athletic woman.
Yeah, creatine's amazing. And the thing, if people can't get caught up, there's a lot of, like, new creatine products that promise better delivery. That's all crap. Just go with the regular creatine monohydrate. I mean, on top, I'm sure Jen and Cass's article is going to cover this, but it has a lot of other great advantages besides anything, you know, muscle building. It has advantages for the brain and some other great things. So you should take it. And, I mean, I would take it, in higher doses. I take my creatine before, during, and after training. You know, and sometimes at other times during the day. So that's what I'd say about that. Don't worry about the flat, Kev.
And, you know, I take mine before and after. I only weigh 135 to 140 pounds, depending on how much water I'm carrying, and I take 10 grams a day. And since that bodybuilding competition, I've only been able to increase my weights even more. I'm certain there's no way, because now I bench 155, I squat, I rep at 185 on squats, and bent rowing 155, and curling 35-pound dumbbells, and I don't look any more huge. My body composition is just, like, getting better all the time, the stronger I get. And the bottom line is that creatine can help you get stronger, and that's just going to translate into what you look like. And that's it.
There are creatine non-responders out there, and there are nutrient protocols that I use for those people, because there's a way to make people not a non-responder. But the thing is, just creatine is amazing, and people should really get on it.
Absolutely. Well, I was, just for everyone out there, I was listening to that conversation. I just have nothing else to add.
No, dude, you were listening. Dude, I mean, that was so evident. You were like, absolutely. You were not listening.
Yeah, what she said, that was good.
Yeah, what she said. So, again, this is going off topic a little bit, but it's something that is really worth mentioning this week, is that I was in the market for some new Nike Freeze, and I went to eastbay.com, and lo and behold, they have them on sale, the 7.0s. They have select models, I guess, or colors for $64.99 per pair, which is, that's like $20 cheaper than you can find them anywhere else. And you can also get $20 off any order over $100. So I was able to get two pairs of Nike Freeze with free shipping for about, I think it was like $110. So
it is off topic, but you guys know that that's the only thing I train in, right?
I don't train in Freeze.
Dude, I can't train in anything other than Freeze.
No, I actually, well, I'm looking at East Bay right now. I don't train in, I actually train in Jordan. Not Jordan basketball shoes, but Jordan training shoes. I know Robertson's a big fan of training in Freeze. I tried it, and I hated it, man.
Why?
See, anything barefoot is like awesome for me, and you can't even tell you're wearing shoes with Freeze.
Oh, Freeze are amazing. I mean, most people should. Yeah, most people would get a ton of great benefits from training in Freeze. Kev, it looks like they only have like three or four pairs now.
Oh wow, they're already going.
Yeah, they're already going. I'm gonna pick up a pair, but yeah, I don't train in Freeze.
Well, they had nice big ones. They had the I'm size 12 and a half, so they had the nice odd numbers for me.
Well, yeah, I have to get 16, so that's even harder to find.
All right, and ladies, I got mine on eBay.
Yeah, eBay's another good place for them.
$49.
Okay, and I don't mean to go off topic here right now, but I'm looking at one shoe. They have size 6 to 15 and then 18. I mean, 16 gets no love. Like, that's not – let's get back on track. That's just not cool.
That's why you got to go to Nike.com, my friend.
Oh, they're just a thousand times more expensive.
Full price.
I don't make Kevin Larrabee money.
Yeah, I'm making the big bucks. I make about, I think I make like $70 a week at my job during the summer. So, rolling in the dough. But anyways, our next story, which is an upcoming story, at least for next week, is that TC from T Nation will actually be joining us next week on the show. This is pretty big news. I mean, it's been about a year we've been trying to get TC on, and he's been really busy, and we're going to have him on next week. So if you do have any questions for TC regarding anything like the new TNation.com layout, he's going to be talking about that. He's going to be talking a little bit about his book. All right, and Jimmy, also, you wanted to say something about TC coming on the show.
Yeah, here's the thing. TC's been in the industry for a long time. People just look at him like he's just the editor of T Nation. TC's been around. I mean, he was involved with, you know, the whole Muscle Media when that was the magazine in the industry. So he has a ton of knowledge in of himself to talk about. So people should really just get the questions in now. Take advantage of that.
Absolutely. And you can send those to questions@thefitcast.com. Or you, if you're a subscriber to the newsletter, we'll have a newsletter out tonight. You can just reply to that with your questions as well.
Can I ask something to the listeners? I just wanted to see, I know we have a big population of people out there listening to the show that train differently. Someone actually emailed me and asked if we would talk about endurance runners, nutrition, and performance training. And I would just love for all the endurance runners out there, endurance athletes, to email Kevin and so we can kind of gauge what kind of interest we have in that topic. So if you're an endurance runner and want us to talk about that on the show at a later date and time, just email Kevin at kevin@thefitcast.com.
Absolutely. We'll have all that great info and I'll have a nice full email box come Monday or Tuesday. So thanks for that, Jimmy. Can't send them to, you can send them to Jimmy Smith at jimmysmithtraining.com too.
Well, the mailbox is flooded already. Don't worry about that.
All right. Anyways, next up, I mentioned in the newsletter about I purchased some Dorian Yates Pro Peptide from discountanabolics.com because Cassandra Forsyth has already always talked about this stuff, praised it as the next coming of protein powder. And I ordered it. I got it. It did not say Dorian Yates on it. It said CNP, which is, I guess he sold the company to something called CNP. And it tastes like absolute butt. It is the most horrible protein I've ever tasted in my life. I tried the chocolate. I tried to choke it down. It tasted like medicine. And the strawberry, honestly, I took one sip of the strawberry and I just said, F this. I'm dumping it out. And I called, but I called Discount Anabolics.
Did you say F this or did you say the actual word?
I said F.
Okay.
I'm not going to swear if I don't need to.
You're such a nerd.
And I contacted Discount Anabolics. They said, it's no problem. We'll contact CNP, see what's up. It turns out they changed the formula. They sold the company. So that's why it was so cheap, I guess. So, and I'm going to return this stuff, and they're going to swap it out with probably just going to get some credit because I really don't need anything right now except maybe some, you know, multivitamins, or I could order some bulk fish oil in the future. But
what's Dorian Yates doing? The creator of high-intensity training, selling out his friggin' supplement company. Now.
No,
Jesus.
He did. His buff body wasn't even on the cover. And right when I saw that, I'm like,
it was always
problem.
Dorian's head. I don't think Dorian's body was ever on the cover. I mean, back in his
maybe
day.
Maybe I was just visualizing it.
I mean, Dorian was the man for a while.
Well, that's great. And Jimmy, you should watch out. Make sure you don't breathe into the microphone too much. But
That was Jen Heath, or you, because that wasn't me.
Okay.
I am, like, totally silent as a grave over here.
Stay out of this, Jen. Thank you.
That's right. It's your little bickering between the two of you. That's right. I should know better.
All right. And lastly, our poll results for this last week's poll on thefitcast.com. We only had about 110 people that submitted votes for this one. Okay, Jimmy, you know you're doing that right now, right? Stop blowing into the mic. I can see your level go up on the computer. Stop it. All right.
I heard it that time.
See?
I wanted to do a Darth Vader type thing, but you cut me off, so.
All right, anyways, it looks like about 50% of our listeners are coming from the United States based on these. We also have a bunch of listeners in Europe, in Asia, which is pretty cool. And we also have some listeners in Africa, which, I mean, it's great that we're going all over the continents and even some in South America. So it is great that people are listening all over the world, and hopefully you can spread the word of the FitCast all over the place, as long as you have a computer and you have internet connection. It's all good. All right, Jimmy, do you have something funny to say? Do you have it
on
your system?
I have nothing to say.
All right, good.
I have nothing to say. I really want to do my Darth Vader thing, but other than that, I have nothing to say.
All right, we're going to jump into part of our listener mail. For this week, we're only going to be tackling one question because we kind of have a skeleton crew on the staff this week. But the question is, how often should I test my one repetition max for my squats, my deadlifts, and my bench? So we'll throw this around the room a little bit. We'll start with you, Jimmy.
For my clients, I test my one repetition max once every 12 weeks. I feel that 12 weeks is enough time to get the client progress and see sufficient results in that 1RM attempt. And I think it's important, like we were talking about before we went on, that people differentiate between testing a 1RM and lifting a 1RM. Testing is you set up certain procedures to test that 1RM to optimally warm up your body and your central nervous system and prime it for you to do that 1RM. People think it's, you know, in old school days, it used to be, okay, do a couple sets and then test it. No. I routinely lift, you know, with one rep, but that's after working sets and I get up to there. That's not a 1RM attempt. That's a one rep set as opposed to a one rep max. Like I said, one rep max for my clients, I'll test 12 weeks, every 12th week. Now, that's only for like my clients that are athletes. When I'm working with the average everyday Joe, you know, some like my fitness and figure people, I'll do that with. But, you know, if I'm just working with, I hate the word average everyday Joe. I'm just going to start calling them fitness enthusiasts. But for those people, I don't test their 1RM. I really don't think there's a need to do it unless they want to see. But for me, it's every 12th week.
All right, Jen, do you want to jump in there?
Well, I agree pretty much with Jimmy. I mean, there's no sense in doing it too often. And it's, for some, it's just not necessary at all. For me, I just do it whenever I feel like it. And it does usually work out to be anywhere between 10 and 14 weeks. I mean, if you get in the mood and you can psych yourself up for it, go for it. But, I mean, if you're going to do that constantly, it's going to hinder your progress. So just whenever you need it.
Well, Jimmy, this is what I was going to ask you. If for people out there, how many times a week do you think they should be attempting sets of one rep?
See, again, that's a hard statement to say because it all depends on the periodization of their program. In a properly structured program, I probably wouldn't have someone lift their 1RM, lift a one rep set more than like 3 weeks, and that's out of a 12-week cycle. So I just think, again, a lot of it depends because you have to look at the majority of people. Now, obviously, if it's someone who's training for, you know, like a power lifter or training pure strength, they're going to get it a little more often.
So maybe you would do it
for a four-week block
out of that 12 weeks.
How many week block?
Like a 3 or 4 week block.
Yeah, 3 or 4 week block where they'd actually work with their 1RM. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about competitive powerlifters because that's a different ballgame. But, you know, for your average everyday Joe who just wants a better body or whatever, you know, three weeks out of a 12-week block would be good. And the fourth week of that cycle, would it be spent on recovery work from that or slightly higher reps? The thing is, you shouldn't lift with low reps too much. I think that's kind of a growing trend in the industry that people are jumping to lower and lower reps more frequently, and people just aren't recovering as much as they were without that. So while low reps are great, and especially with higher sets, you have to be careful. Again, it's all about what you can recover from. So
very good. Let's jump into our round table for this week. First off, I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole Wii Fit thing that Nintendo is coming out with for people out there who aren't into video games and things of that nature. This past week they had E3, which is the more or less the big conference for all the gaming companies to come together into one spot. I think they did it somewhere in California, basically show off their products that for the next year or so. And with Nintendo, obviously with their Wii, it's getting a lot of publicity for getting people out of their seats and playing games more, standing up, doing things like Wii Sports, where they're actually playing baseball using the what they call the Wiimote to simulate a baseball bat or a tennis racket or anything like that. And what they debuted was a new game called Wii Fit, which is being created by the guy that created the original Super Mario Brothers and many of the other Nintendo classics back in the day, and still he's working on other good stuff. But basically, the idea of this is that you have a board that goes under your feet, which is about 2 feet wide, and you have about a foot worth of width. I think that's what I'm trying to say. No, that width is wide, but you know, it's 2x1. All right, on the floor, and it goes about an inch off the ground, and you stand on it, and it measures how you balance your weight on the board. So right off the bat, what it does is you input your age and you input your height, and it right off the bat will give you your BMI, which is obviously your body mass index, which this is how they're going to measure your amount of fitness or your level of fitness through this. because they thought it would be too embarrassing for you to get together with a bunch of your friends and have everyone step on this board and everyone could see how much each other weighed. So they're only going to be using BMI to measure people's physical fitness, I guess. And many of the stuff that they do on this thing is just you moving from side to side like you would simulate having a hula hoop around your waist and trying to keep it up, or you would move from side to side bending your head to try to hit a soccer ball, and you would obviously be manipulating a character on the screen. And they even go as far as doing things like Pilates like movements where you do crazy crap, like you stand on one leg and you bring your other leg up and you bounce on it. If you're into that, that's cool, but I don't, it's just stuff like that. And they even showed some guy doing push-ups, or you could dance on the thing. You could like pretty much go like step, 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 step in that kind of motion.
What motion?
You heard me.
I was just a jerk.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. I'm not a dance enthusiast, but basically that's how much movement you get out of it. And right now a lot of the people in the video game world are speculating that this thing is going to sell like freaking hotcakes. Alright, this thing is going to be all over the place, like you saw maybe before Christmas on Good Morning America and crap like that. They're going to be showing this to people, and people out there are going to be like, oh my god, I got to get this and I'm going to get in shape. And the sad thing is I don't think they will, because you will not even break a sweat on this thing. It's nothing like the Dance Dance Revolutions, where we talked about in the past, people dancing their asses off until they literally passed out from exhaustion. It's not like that. And I don't know, for me it almost feels like it's false advertising, because I don't see how people are going to get fit by doing stuff like this, doing more or less some body weight exercises, doing some yoga Pilates stuff, and doing some really slow and ironic dancing. And I just wanted to talk about this. I don't know if Jen or Jimmy, if you guys have seen this, but I don't know if you had any take on this.
Jen, I just looked at it. I saw it. It looks like it would be a lot of fun for kids and for someone who sits down and plays video games a lot and never gets up and moves. It's going to be good for somebody like that, because it's going to get them up, and something is better than nothing. But as far as actually like the whole premise of getting fit, changing your body composition, training your muscles, improving aspects like flexibility and strength and stuff like that, this is not going to do anything. Nothing.
But you know all the soccer moms out there are going to pick this up, because right now the core demographic that Nintendo has really been hitting at for this Nintendo Wii is the soccer mom that will get into playing Wii Sports. I'll get into playing like these stupid carnival games.
How much are they selling? Have they released the price on it yet?
Well, the system itself is $249, and this thing is probably going to be about $50.
Okay. I just want all of you women that are listening to know that it costs less than that for 3 months of personal training with me. So go to my website and hire me as your trainer, and I will kick your butt and get you leaner and stronger. In the meantime, everyone else can dance around like maniacs on their little Wii boards or whatever they are.
But then they can also, they won't be able to get to play the new Super Mario. That's huge. Everyone wants to do that. All the moms.
Here's something, Haley. I want you to say, train like my mom. Train like my mom. And not on a Wii board. Not on a Wii board. Oh, there you have it, from my daughter herself.
Can I get in on this topic now?
It's all yours, Jimmy.
I just think it's like a horrible attempt at making more money. Like, it'll sell, and people will buy it, and kids will want it. And people get hurt on it. Like I told you, I treated someone that had Wii Elbow, you know, from playing.
Are you serious?
I had talked about it. And like Wii that next
Elbow?
law of attraction right there. We talked about it in the show, and then a week later, one of my client's kids had it, and they brought the kid in. The kid had a wee elbow because they were on, I don't know if they were playing tennis or a baseball game, whatever, but I think it's just another gimmick to people to use and people to get on and whatever. But look, if people want the wee board, they can get training with me, and I'll dance with them on the wee. I played basketball. I have rhythm. So, 6'6", white boy.
You could always do like 30 minutes of some high-intensity cardio stuff, and then do 30 minutes of NBA 2K7.
You're going to have like those mothers who are going to argue, and I don't mean to pick on mothers, just pick on parents in general. You're going to have those parents that are going to say, my kids, you know, do wee dance, and they're good. Like, come on, get over it. It's not that good.
It's crap. And this is someone that really wants to kind of promote video games. It's not something that's just some kid sitting in front of their computer all day.
You know what I heard? I heard that Tony Gentilcore has the old Nintendo track and field that he actually runs on like at least once a week for cardio. And I'm not even lying. I'm not even making
I have one of those.
Yeah.
It's maybe I'll throw up a video of it. Yeah, those.
Don't, because I was only kidding about Tony. I don't know if Tony has it. I want Tony to kick my butt.
No, it's great because you can just, you like sprint in place and you can trick the thing by jumping off the pad onto something else.
Off topic.
All right, we're going to stay on topic. Next thing we're going to be talking about in the roundtable is actually an article that Jimmy emailed us earlier in the week, so I think it's just fair that Jimmy gets to tell everyone out there a little bit about this fantastic new carb study.
There's a study coming out. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's coming out like the International Journal of like Sports Nutrition or something like that, that actually talked about a diet high in carbohydrates, low in fat, and containing sucrose, so now sugar, was beneficial for weight loss when aerobic activity was involved. Like, that's all the stuff us as, you know, and I'm going to use the word educated in, you know, quotations, educated industry have been, you know, preaching against like the last 2 or 3 years. And, I mean, honestly, I subscribe to everybody's mailing list, and on average, I probably get 10 emails a week from people being like, best way to lose weight, high-intensity cardio, and lower the carbs. Like, that seems to be all people are saying, but at the same time, like, it works. And there's a study coming out that's refuting it, and the only reason we're bringing it up is because it's actually going to set us back. Because when that study comes out, it's going to be on the front page of Yahoo. It's going to be on the news. People are going to bring it up because all along we've been talking about this low-carbohydrate diet. The only way I could see it work was if, and again, they had overweight people, so keep in mind, you know, the subjects. They're not necessarily people who are working out. So if I'm, you know, 300 pounds, 350 pounds, and, you know, someone adds even aerobic work, slight energy expenditure, I'm going to lose weight. And I think the weight loss was like 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, it was
something completely small. I didn't read the full paper, but, you know, the only way you could see it work is if they took out like starchy, sugary carbs and added in starchy carbs, but they didn't do that. So, I mean, I think it's just a horrible diet. Everybody, you know, keep doing your high intensity work. Keep doing your, you know, eating your low and, you know, processed carb diet. I think the main thing about this is as a fitness industry, we just need to look deeper into things. You know, we have to stop accepting everything for what it is.
Well, something that's pretty blatant, it stands out for me in this article, is that you mentioned they had them do cardio and they had them eat a high carbohydrate diet. And you know what? I would bet you a lot of money that a good percentage of these women that they put on this program were already eating a high carbohydrate diet and just weren't exercising. Does that make sense?
Possibly. I didn't read the whole paper, so.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, unless they were eating jars of peanut butter every day, all they did was have a reduced calorie diet, and they decreased their fat intake, and they increased their, or they quote unquote increased their high carbohydrate, increased their carbohydrate intake. And how the hell do we know what they were eating before? For all we know, they were eating worse before they started this.
True.
So I just think it's BS, and obviously I don't think we're taking it seriously, but I just don't see how anyone with half a brain could even take this seriously either. Anyone that works for like a newspaper or a television station, it just doesn't make sense.
At a very most basic of principles, I mean, this could go on as a 24-hour scientific discussion, obviously, of why that is a terrible, terrible, stupid, retarded diet. But at the most basic level that everyone can understand, it's pretty widely accepted that if you're going to be losing more than a pound a week, it better be like extremely dialed in, specific training and nutrition, specific body recomposition. I mean, 2 pounds a week is not permanent weight loss. I don't care who you are. It's just not permanent. It's not. Why would you want to? I mean, and why is there, and the reason why is because if you're losing more than a pound a week, it's muscle. And that's the fastest way to decrease your metabolism, and that is the fastest way to end up an old fat person. So that diet sucks. All of my clients either lose weight excruciatingly slow or they gain weight, and their measurements go down, and they look fantastic when they're done. I am an advocate of not worrying about how much weight you lose, and I think that diet stinks, like, really bad. There's my opinion.
I hope everyone out there heard that, because Jen's not joking around.
Oh, I think it's really for start. No. Women come to me so lost, they have no idea what they're doing wrong, they're so obsessed with the scale, and I just get their minds completely changed around, and in 3 months, like, it's gradual for them. Like, they're talking to me 2 or 3 times a week. I'm getting them eating what they need to, what their bodies want. And at the end of 3 months, they look at themselves, and some of them haven't even bothered to compare. Like, they think they should have had more progress or something when they really made fantastic progress, and they'll send me their pictures, and I'm, like, freaking out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at how wonderful she looks compared to when she starts. And I'll send them, you look great. They're like, I don't know, have you compared your pictures? They'll look at their before pictures, and they'll just be floored. They'll be floored. They'll be like, finally, they can say, oh, my gosh, I've only lost 2 pounds, but I look like I've lost 20. I look fantastic. And I promise you, somebody better kill me before I ever put anyone on that kind of a diet, ever.
Well, everyone out there has heard that, so you have your permission to murder Jen in case she ever puts someone on that diet. So I don't know if you want to give people that option.
Test me. Seriously, if you ever find that I've done something like that, you need to test me for complete insanity.
Well, my whole thing about that is the diet added sucrose in it. And I don't know. I don't want to get into it, but that just blew my mind.
Don't do it. Anyone that's listening to this, just don't do it. Don't ever go on that diet, ever.
Yeah, and if you do, blame Kevin Larrabee, because he brought it up on the show.
All right, anyways, moving on without getting into any more arguments. Before we do move on, we have to quickly mention our sponsors. First off, as always, Craig...
Keith's not here. You can't mention the sponsors. You have to have someone to cut off.
Sorry. First off, Craig Ballantyne and TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And as always, if you... go through thefitcast.com to purchase Turbulence Training. A portion of those proceeds go to help support the Fitcast podcast.
Dude, it's not a friggin' charity. You were like Suzanne Summers, and a portion goes to... you don't need to do... Jesus, Kev.
You know what? We're a non-profit organization, more or less.
Okay, then.
It costs money to get these downloads out to people.
Next. Hey, look, I know. I hope people appreciate the... the star that is Kevin Larrabee.
What is this? What did I deserve this stuff? Like, do I sound boastful? Do I brag?
No, dude, I was being serious. Like, I appreciate what you do. I mean, shit.
Okay, thanks. Maybe I'll just call you Tony for the rest of the show. But anyways, next up is Black Star Labs at blackstarlabs.com. Their featured product this week, for us at least, is their... Extreme Formulations Ice, which is their branched chain amino acids drink, which I use exclusively at the gym, and I use that pre-workout every single day I go and lift, and it's great stuff. They have it in fruit punch, they have it in grape, and they have it in raspberry lemonade, but I just get fruit punch because Cressy seems to like the grape. He thinks that seems to think it's fantastic, but I can't stand the grape.
Cressy likes it. He really likes it.
He does. Maybe it's because it's purple. I don't know. I'm going to get my ass kicked. I know. I'm going to stop. And last but not least, good friend Mike Robertson at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Again, as always, that's where you can pick up magnificent mobility inside out, bulletproof knees, building the efficient athlete with Jimmy Smith's head in the video.
Did you see me in the video?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, I'm in the front row. I mean, me, the big nerd. I'm in the front row, and so if people can look for me, Tony's there too, and there's someone else there. I forgot. But yeah, it was a good seminar. People should definitely pick that up.
I think it's like $200 for like a six or eight DVD set. It's
which really cool. Is absolutely nothing considering the exposure of things you get to. I mean, just the static assessment alone, like you see a lot of trainers that try to do their own static assessments and they're just like totally lost. And that's a really easy static assessment that Mike and Eric go over in there, so.
Well, Jimmy, have you gotten to any of those Z Health seminars?
I have not. I have Z Health information. Like I have booklets.
Yeah.
I have Z Health products. Again, here's the thing. We over and underreact in the fitness industry, as Alan Cosgrove always says. Z Health is another modality.
Cool. Yeah.
It's another movement modality that people can look at and look into and ways to find pain. It's always worth your time to learn. And I know people knock the Z Health because they think it's a little more expensive. I personally didn't do the certification. I have Z Health's products. And it gets into a lot of their methods of what they do. But again, you can't. There's good and bad to everything. I mean, I've seen some stuff I like on the Z. I've seen some stuff I disagree with. So the thing is, you have to use that as another modality, especially when we're looking at how human bodies work. You've got to continually learn how they do it. So did I kind of cut you off? Did that answer your question?
Oh, no, you did. It was a question, so you didn't really cut me off. But thanks for being nice about it.
Try to be.
And I think
people email me all the time telling me it's fantastic that I make fun of you, but at times I feel bad. So.
You should, because sometimes I cry at night about it. Anyways, I think we're going to save our discussion on dumb things that we see people do in the gym till next week, but we'll have the whole cast back. And also next week we're going to be having some great discussions. Actually, no, you know, we're not even going to have the discussions because...
Yeah, I would say let's talk about it now real quick, if you want, like another like 5 minutes. We all just, me, you, and Jen can just go around and talk about dumb things we see at the gym, because next week you have TC on, you know, and then things happen fast in the FitCast world, so why don't we just get to it now?
The floor is yours. Go for it.
I want Jen to go first, ladies first.
All right, Jen.
You want me to go first about what stupid things people do
in
the gym?
Just talk about
we're doing this kind of dry. We didn't even know we were going to have this discussion until about.
It's
going
to be the typical thing, but here's the. Everyone seems to want my opinion on it. So it's the typical thing. Not warming up. Warming up for too long. Not stretching. Stretching for too long. I swear, every single time I see a woman doing tricep kickbacks, I just want to kill someone. And worse yet, a personal trainer. Having a woman doing tricep kickbacks. And then here's one that's semi-intelligent that's not what you always hear. Sometimes I actually... Okay, no, before I say that, how about women not lifting weights? I swear there's like 6 or 7 women that at my gym on a regular basis that are totally skinny.
I love
they're either lean or they're skinny fat people, and they are so skinny. And they are there before I get there, and they are there after I leave. And they are still on the elliptical. Oh, that makes me so... I feel so bad for those people. Okay, so there's those things.
Do you guys ever go up to people? I mean, you and Jimmy as trainers, do you guys ever take it upon yourself to go up to someone and be like, why the hell are you doing this?
No, because people don't really care. You have to realize that you can't confuse people with facts. And a lot of people don't want to hear it. And at the same time, there's a ton of gym scientists in the gym. You know, guys that are even worse than the message board guys, because even those guys go online and read. Like, these people don't even do that. Like, they just work out, you know, read the magazines, and that's it. Like, I had a trainer pull me aside the other day because I was deadlifting, and there was a guy deadlifting next to me. The guy deadlifting next to me was literally rounding at his lumbar spine, had his legs straight, and was pulling. This kid was pulling, like, 425. And that's how he was deadlifting. Like, it was bad. Like, my back hurt just from watching him. And then so the trainer pulls me over, and you know, he's talking to me, and I know him from the gym. He's like, I just graduated with a degree in exercise science, and you shouldn't do that on your back because this, that. Like, to me, that was even too much. Like, and he doesn't know what I do, and I don't advertise what I do, and I don't tell other trainers in the gym what I do. But to me, like, I mean, whatever, I'm a nice – I took it, shook my head, yeah, and some other people will. But a lot of people are annoyed. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Especially, and Jen can speak better on this than me, but like a lot of women, like I know one of my sisters in the gym, like she just wants to work out and work out hard. She doesn't want these trainers coming up to her.
How old is your sister, Jimmy?
I'll punch you in the face. She doesn't want to talk about people, you know, having her tell her what to do. So what about you, Jen? What do you think?
about your sister.
Yeah, how old is she?
I think your sister, if she gets in and out and works hard, is smart. You know, my biggest pet peeve is when seriously the skinny girls that are there before I get there and they're after I leave and they're still on the elliptical trainer when I have gone in and had an incredible weight training session with zero time wasted, including warm up and stretching when I'm done and in between exercises and everything in 45 minutes to 55 minutes tops. I'm usually in and out in under an hour, and that includes saying hi to the girl at the front desk and hi to a couple of people in there that are training when I'm training and not wasting any time. But I was going to say, for all the women that like do get brave enough, and men too, and don't let me forget, I have one more stupid thing I saw the other day that was actually kind of humorous, but they actually are brave enough to try squats, and they go straight for the bar, or when they get under the bar, they squat to where their knees are going way over their toes because they've not been told how to squat, and that is a dumb thing to do. So if you get brave enough to try weights, don't just go try to hit it. Talk to someone first, because you're going to hurt yourself, you know, and then you can't weight train at all, and then you're back as a dumb skinny person on an elliptical trainer. So just things that cause injuries, like the whole back hunched over thing that we just heard of, that, you know, that's, yeah, then the last thing I have to tell you, this guy, I don't know what he's doing. I can't figure it out. Everything he does, it every time I see my husband's laughing in the background. Gosh, and my husband was in there with me the other day, and this guy, he started doing this thing again. I was like, gosh, what is wrong with this man? He's totally skinny, and he's like maybe 45 or 50 years old, and he gets these like 10-pound dumbbells or 8-pound dumbbells, right? And he stands there, and he just like, I'm doing the motion with my arms right now. It's so freaking hilarious. He just like swims, like with his arms, with these dumbbells, like over and over again, kind of shakes his upper body back and forth a little bit, and like swims these dumbbells around in circles. And I eyeballed over to my husband, and I was like, check this guy out. What's he doing? There's some weird things going on that are not giving anybody any progress, that's for sure. It was funny. You should have been there. We could have had a good laugh.
I would just women.
I don't know. Have you ever heard of that before? It's so weird if you ever see it.
Kevin, you want to do your job?
Sure. You know, I'll go next. And this is some things that I've seen recently in the gym. And first off, I like to call this extracurricular movements, where someone will be doing an exercise that has extra body movements for reasons being that they're trying to lift too much weight. They could just be doing the exercise incorrectly, things of that nature. And one thing that I really love, and I saw it yesterday, I was doing my chest-supported rows yesterday, and I got done with my set. Some guy jumped in right after me. And this dude was literally humping the crap out of the chest supported rows because he was doing too much weight. And you could see it. You could see it in his hips, and you could see it in his neck. He was definitely, I think it's called chickening, when you have your head bobbing back and forth because he's doing too much weight, trying to get that extra little bit of momentum. And it just it looks horrible. Being that I was lifting alone and I was just listening to music, I just started laughing out loud. And like, I tried to turn around really fast because I didn't want this guy to feel bad. And he was a kid my age. He looked like he was in either high school or college. And he was just there with some of his buddies doing that. So I like to call that extracurricular movements, where they're just doing a little bit too much. And again, I saw the same thing with this kid on the row machine. Again, he's just bobbing his neck back and forth, trying to get that extra little momentum, doing a little bit too much weight, like the dumbass that he was looking like, and it was interesting stuff. More or less, common rule of thumb is if you're moving your neck around and your head around a lot when you're doing an exercise, you're probably doing too much weight. Just if you need to, you can look in the mirror and you'll notice stuff like that. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is the people that do their whole workout at the cable machines, where they have the cables, you can apply weight to them. they somehow are able to get in upper body, a lower body workout with the cable machine. So if you need to do something like a power press, you can't jump in because they're going from a bench press, they're going to do some bicep curls, then they're going to do some, maybe do a shoulder press. They'll do pretty much everything you could ever think of. They'll do another variation for their chest. They'll do every possible exercise that you can do with cables on the cable machine. And it's a pain in the ass, especially if your gym only has one machine. You're kind of out of luck. But I noticed that guys especially like to do chest exercises on the cable machines a lot, which is cool, but that's something that kind of annoys me because then I can't use it for my power presses and cable chops, things like that. So that's mine.
And my good two one. Things are that they're is not. A good a, one. Oh, I'm sorry, Jen. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's a good one. That is a problem.
Well, my two things aren't like more exercise based. They're actually what people do. Like I was noticing yesterday in the gym that this one person who's there every Saturday when I'm there comes in, does like a squat that they did last week. Move on to a completely different exercise the second time. So basically what that is no one actually writes out their programs beforehand, and no one keeps a training diary.
It's coming to do something.
Yeah, like how the hell do you know what you're doing? Like you have to have a gauge of where you're going. And I see this all the time with people is like they'll go and they'll, do their chest press first and then they'll move on to a different type of row every week. Or what's worse, they'll stay the same type of row every week. And to me, it's like it's just confusing. And the second thing I notice a lot is you see like people that are just like gym wanderers, and I was interviewed yesterday on a radio show out in Kentucky, and that's basically what we talked about was that like, there's gym wanderers. There's these people who just wander around the gym waiting to see the next coolest thing, whether it's like an exercise or it's someone who's bigger than you or someone has a body you want. People just stop their workout and start an exercise. It's just ridiculous. Like if someone sees me doing like a seated side shoulder press, I'll be like, oh, what's that? Can I try it? Now keep in mind this person is training their arms and legs that day. They're not even doing anything shoulder based. So it's just the whole like stupidity in your continuity of your training. That's really the only thing I want to say. You guys pretty much covered everything else.
Yes, we did.
Thanks for that great... Never mind.
All right. Well, Jimmy, is there any music that we should leave out with this week? I mean, I think people are really enjoying the New Kids on the Block and the other various music titles that we leave out with every week. Is there anything on the top here?
I don't know. We didn't touch on anything that we can do, that we can say.
How about the Super Mario Brothers theme?
No.
What? Something wrong with that?
That's like Jen. Kevin just emailed me and said, how about we leave to just the two of us by Will Smith? And I said, no, there's no way that's happening. So Kevin, since you want to do Will Smith, why don't you do Getting Jiggy With It? Or,
no.
Hey, do this. You know what? Because the people that are listening to it...
I'll do Summertime.
Exactly. That's because I just texted that to you. You wanted to do just the two
You're
of us.
You're not texting anything to me.
So just go there, and that's that.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here this week. Of course, our short show kind of ran on to about an hour.
Of us.
All right.
Castles in the sky.
Yeah. Anyways, for episode number 58... Oh, wait. I forgot to mention that. Always remember to check out the fitcast.com.
I always forget to say check out the fitcast.com.
Yeah, check out the fitcast.com. Even check out the insider, fitcastinsider.com. For everyone out there, I'm going to be running that promotion with Fat Loss Pros for one more week because one person emailed me, said they're not going to be able to sign up until Tuesday. So I'll run it till the end of next week, but that's it. Get 3 free months of Fitcast Insider. And I think that's pretty much it. Again, TC is going to be on next week.
Questions in.
Get your questions in, man. This is pretty much a one time.
This is big.
This is huge.
I would miss enormous things to be on the phone with TC. I will not miss this show for anything.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, anyways, as always, and then there's JimmySmithTraining.com and JenHeath.com. Don't forget to check out those places as well because
JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com as well.
And their blogs and everything else like that.
No. My block. Okay.
We're going to get out of here again for episode number 58. Seriously, we're going to end it this time. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jen
Heath. I'm Jimmy Smith.
Everyone out there, we're not going to get jiggy with it, but we're going to enjoy our summertime. Okay. Jimmy Smith. Got it in the last word. See you next week.
That's professional.
Well, I got in the last word. I can edit it out.
That's great. I don't give a
damn. Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime.